Tonight we're going to continue our study in Hebrews and finish up the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and make your way to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here in the closing verses of chapter 5, we find a strong rebuke for the church. This Hebrew congregation is being rebuked for becoming dull of hearing. As we talked about last week, that means that they had become sluggish, not attentive, they had become bored. Many were not quick to accept God's word with faith. So it's not that the doctrine that he was wanting to teach them was difficult for him to explain. It was that they weren't ready to understand it. They had become dull of hearing. When you become dull of hearing, you'll stop growing in the perfect knowledge of Christ. And when growth stops, maturity will be stunted. This Hebrew church had much instruction and had the Word of God to guide them in truth. They had the full counsel of the Old Testament scriptures. And by this time, most likely, they had most of the New Testament as well. So they're not being rebuked for what they don't know, but for what they do know. They had the scriptures. And so verse 12 here in chapter 5 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." They had been blessed with truth, given time to prosper in it, and something happened. Something stunted their growth. Part of what caused this was some had become dull of hearing. They were not excited by God's word and lost the zeal that they had once had for Christ. And so they lost some of growing in the knowledge of the deeper truths of the word, such as what we had covered in previous verses regarding Christ, such as the eternal priesthood, the divine Son of God. And we can say that with confidence because no one who rightly understands and believes the doctrine of Christ as the eternal high priest of a better priesthood with a better sacrifice would leave the church and return to the shadows of Jewish temple worship, because the substance of those shadows has been revealed in Christ and fulfilled in Christ. The church is being exhorted to give earnest heed to the things that they have heard and to hold fast their confession of who Christ is. This Hebrew congregation had been given much, and therefore much was required of them. They ought to have been mature to the point where they were able to teach others. This is not an instruction for everyone in the church to pursue a teaching position within the church. I say that because James gives a sober warning regarding the teaching position within the body of Christ. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 3. I'm going to show you verse 1 real quick. James James 3, verse 1, we read, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." James addresses this to the brethren, men who are in the faith, and warns them that teaching God's word to God's people is a dangerous calling, because those who teach will receive a stricter judgment. And that's sobering for me as I stand here and teach the scriptures. I know that I will receive a stricter judgment. And so will all who desire to teach in the church and need to be aware of this warning from James. This should not scare away someone who is called to the ministry of the word, but it should sharpen their focus and bring a heightened sense of responsibility to their calling. That being said, this warning should scare away any who would consider the position of teaching for any reason other than obedience to Christ for the glory of God. So in Hebrews chapter 5, where he says, "By this time you ought to be teachers," we can be assured that there is no contradiction with the warning found in James. The author of Hebrews is not calling for all members of the church to become official teachers, but is recognizing their lack of proper understanding regarding the first principles of the Word of God. You can think of it as the ABCs of the truth of the Word, the elementary principles of the Gospel. In their case, one major truth that they should have been teaching was the fact that the Old Testament economy was fulfilled and done away with. They were responsible to teach this to others, not to be tempted to return back to which is no longer valid. This Hebrew church is rebuked for not being mature enough to handle this responsibility for which they should be ready. From this, we can note a few things. One, God takes notice of the time and effort that is put into His Word. That includes how much time we individually pursue His Word and the time and effort that others invest in us through teaching and training in the Scriptures. By this time, you ought to be teachers. Which leads me to point two. Those to whom much is given, much is required. This should be sobering for any Christian, but especially for us here at this church, because through the teaching ministry of Mr. Gardner, we are given much. Point three, for those of us who have a good understanding of the Gospel, the foundational truths of the Word ought to be able to teach others. Those who cannot explain the basics of the Gospel are immature in doctrine and need someone to teach them the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God is a phrase that refers to the Word of God, God's special revelation to man. And it does say the first principles thereof. These are the foundational truths of the Holy Bible that are easy to understand. Some people, instead of growing in Christian knowledge, seem to forget the very first principles. Sometimes that's when they hit hard times or persecution or trials. And so they're in a position where they need to be retaught, need to be encouraged to seek first the original truths, the basics of the Gospel. And know this, those who are not improving under the means of grace will be losing. There's really no middle ground in the life of a Christian. Either you're moving forward in faith by building on the foundational truths, or you're going to be moving backwards. Let's look again at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." It is sinful for believers who have years of church life behind them to be a baby in their understanding. Babies need milk, and that's all they can handle. Understand that there's nothing wrong with the pure milk of the Word of God, and there's certainly nothing wrong for those who are newborns to need milk. Those who have just been saved are newborn, and newborn babies need milk. That's normal, to be expected, as the foundational principles found in the oracles of God are healthy. They're nourishing. Even for the mature Christian, the pure milk of the Word of God is good. It should be refreshing. We should enjoy it along with those who are newborn. The problem is when believers refuse to grow past the baby stage. Why? Because there's more than milk to be had. There's solid food in the Word. But a baby cannot digest solid food as long as they remain a baby. What would you say about a grown man who is 40 years old, living in his parents' basement, has no job, spends all his waking hours playing video games. You might say that guy is immature and he needs to grow up. What does immaturity look like in the church? Peter helps us out with that. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If this list of sins here might characterize you, malice, I know that's not a word that we use often in the English language, but what it means is to have ill intent in your heart towards another person, whether in the church or outside the church. Deceit, not being honest in your dealings with others. Hypocrisy, putting on masks, pretending to be somebody you're not. Envy, not being happy for others when they do well, but sinfully desiring it for yourself. And evil speaking, not submitting your tongue under the dominion of Christ. These sins characterize you. Repent and long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, either for the first time or once again, so that by it you may grow up and start to mature. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3, look at verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos.' Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." It's about God. The Apostle Paul lays out a very similar lesson here as Peter. While there is jealousy and strife, it's evidence of immaturity and walking in the flesh rather than the Spirit. Paul would say, like Peter, grow up, get strong on the pure milk, and move on to maturity with solid food. Turn back to Hebrews, look at chapter 5. As we continue on to verse 13, Hebrews 5:13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." If you are unskilled in the word of righteousness, which is the word of God, it's evidence of immaturity. Are you able to rightly divide the word? And just as importantly, are you able to rightly apply the word of righteousness to your life, to your family, to your home, to your job, to your siblings, to your schoolwork? Are you diligently applying the scriptures as the source of truth and righteousness to your life, even when God's counsel may cut against your wishes and desires? Do you submit to the word of righteousness, or are you submitting to your flesh? Christians who are unskilled at applying God's word are babes and need to be encouraged right where they are at and at the same time exhorted to mature. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And for context, we'll pick up the reading in Ephesians 4 at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's a lot in here, but the main verse I wanted to highlight for you is verse 14, which says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There is real danger in remaining immature regarding the Scriptures. If you don't know the word of righteousness, you can be easily deceived by the trickery of men who are plotting to deceive you. That's why the teachers of this church will always exhort you to be on a track of growth in the word of righteousness. It's for your protection as well as your growth. Let's turn back to Hebrews. Hebrews 5, moving on to verse 14, where it continues, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There is solid food for those that are of full age. The deeper mysteries of Christ belong to those that are mature, who have learned the first principles and are building upon them, so that by reason of use they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You must use what you know regarding the wisdom principles found in the Word, so that by experience you can grow in discernment, and then be prepared to learn even more. If you do not apply what you know, either due to fear, lack of faith, or simply out of sinfulness, you'll be acting like a baby, one who dangerously has little to no discernment. Think about it. How easy would it be to hurt a little baby? Well, one could easily feed an infant something harmful. Regarding this truth, A.W. Pink has this in his commentary. "A child is easily imposed upon as to its food. Its nurse may easily induce it to swallow even poison. But a man, by reason of use, has learned so to employ his senses as to distinguish between what is harmful and what is nourishing. The same holds good in the spiritual realm. It is only by the constant and assiduous exercise of minds upon spiritual things, by the diligent study of the Word, by daily meditation thereon, by the exercise of faith therein, by earnestly supplicating the Spirit for life, that we acquire the all-important discernment to distinguish between good and evil, truth and error. Senses exercised means the ability or fitness acquired as a disciplined soldier is equipped for his duty, or a trained athlete is for his work. Such capacity is only attained by the Christian through a constant and sedulous application of himself to the things of God. By reason of use refers not to spastic effort, but to a regular practice, a confirmed habit. The outcome is a spiritual ability to judge rightly all that is presented to his notice. We have spiritual senses as well as natural. The physical body has an appetite and prefers certain tastes. So does our soul. We have a spiritual appetite that prefers certain tastes. So be warned, you will develop an appetite for what you feed on. Are you feeding your soul the pure milk and the solid food found in God's Word? Or are you feeding your soul spiritual poison? It is by use that our spiritual senses are improved upon, strengthened, and matured, so that we're able to discern the difference between the sweetness of what is good, holy, and true, and the bitterness of what is false, dangerous, and evil." So overall, what can we say regarding this little section of Scripture and the warning that it presents? Well, we can say this. Never be content with spiritual immaturity. I'll say it again. never be content with spiritual immaturity. Flee from it. Also, you must open up your ears and maintain a zeal for God's word. If you have become dull of hearing, repent and ask God to assist you with being an active, interested listener, able to hear God's word with faith, quick to obey, and to rightly apply the word of righteousness, so that by reason of use, you can have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's another important warning. Contentment with spiritual immaturity could be an indication that you are not a Christian. If you are content with spiritual immaturity, that's a serious problem. In chapter 6, the author of Hebrews is going to warn against those who appear to the human eye to be born again, but are not. So be warned, and note this. If you are content with spiritual immaturity, you must ask yourself, am I a true Christian? Am I a true member of the household of faith? How do you know? Well, have you become dull of hearing? And if so, are you content to stay that way? Are you content to stay in that condition? A true believer will heed this rebuke and not stay dull of hearing if they have fallen into the sin. True Christians will listen intently, even to dull speakers, if they are reading the Bible and bring in a message regarding its meaning. A true believer will prosper in their soul when the Word of God is read, taught, preached. The true Christian will listen and be interested, even if the preacher is not a very exciting person. The Word of God is pure spiritual food that nourishes the souls of God's elect. May God be pleased to work in our midst for both salvation and maturity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the pure milk of your holy word. And I thank you for the meat that you've provided in it as well. You are so good to feed your children in every stage of their growth. I pray that you would continue to raise up new life here, newborn babes, ready to desire the milk and to grow therein. Lord, and I pray for all here who are babes. I pray that you would strengthen them and mature them. But for any who have grown dull of hearing, I pray that you would unstop our ears and that you would reignite in us by your Spirit a passion, a flame for your word. Lord, help us to take seriously the admonishment here and the warning, to test ourselves, to see if we truly are in the faith. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to apply what we know, to take your word and to wisely put it into application in every area of our life. And that by your grace, we could be a people growing in discernment of both what is good and what is evil, what is nourishing and what is poison. So, Father, I pray that you would do a good work here in our midst and you would continue to strengthen us for the battle ahead, to be victorious warriors on the battlefield, serving our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.